You're listening to Wheelationships.
Brief review from last week. The central idea we're working on right now is that the one thing that, or one of the big things that sabotages our relationships is our own immaturity. As we said last week, there are...
I'm not immature.
Exactly. There are certain abilities that belong to the mature person, and we talked about those last week. We'll kind of zip through those. The ability, and you, no, I didn't write them down there. Ability to connect emotionally, the ability to be vulnerable and share feelings, the ability to have an appropriate sense of power and assertiveness, the ability to say no, ability to have initiative and drive, to have at least a minimal amount of organization, the ability to be real and not put on a front all the time, to be real and to be honest and be gentle and be all the other things. Realize that if you are able to pick out like, no, I don't have that one, okay, that's your area of immaturity and takes all of these abilities. The ability to accept imperfections and have grace and forgiveness, the ability to grieve, to let it go, you know, be sad about it, be angry about it, move on. Some other abilities, to think for oneself and express one's opinion, the ability to learn and grow, the ability to take risk, to grasp and use one's talents, to be responsible and follow through, to be free and not controlled by external or internal factors, to be sexual, to be spiritual, to have a moral sense, to have an intellectual life. Okay, those are the things we talked about last week. And so those are the abilities that mature people have. That when you, not just because you get older, but because you learn some of these we talked about are easier for certain personality types. But the question is, how do we develop those abilities? What is it, how do we get there? Because it doesn't automatically happen. We talk about this in a spiritual sense when you go to Grow 2. If any of you have ever been to Grow 2, in our Grow series, we talk about spiritual development and spiritual discipline. Spiritual maturity is not something that just happens because you've been around the church for a long time, because you've been following Christ for so many years. A lot of people look at these, you know, can look at you because you've been around a long time and say, well, they must be a spiritually mature person. Well, it's not just because you show up, okay? That doesn't make you spiritually mature. There's work involved. There's development involved. It's the same way naturally in our relationships. Just because you've been married for, fill in the blank, years, doesn't mean your relationship is maturing. So, how do we make these qualities part of our life? By the way, before I push on, any comments or questions about that? Okay. All right. What are the requirements of being an adult? The requirements of being an adult. Maybe no one's ever told you what the requirements are. Besides your mother, and you don't remember what she said so many years ago. Okay. Well, adults take responsibility for their treasures. Adults take responsibility for their treasures. It's what we try to teach every small child. Those are your toys. You pick them up. You put them away. You take care of them. Don't break them. Blah, blah, blah. Adults take responsibility for their treasures. If you've been here the whole time we've been talking about good fences through the many weeks, you've heard this in various ways. If you don't, I'll remind you what we're talking about when we talk about treasures. What are the treasures that we own? What are the treasures that we're responsible for? It's the stuff inside our fence. Our feelings, our attitudes, our behaviors, our beliefs, our choices, our values, our limits, our talents, our thoughts, our desires, our love. all of those things. Attitudes, beliefs, feelings, behaviors, choices, values, limits, talents, thoughts, desires, love. And that's what we own. So an adult will take responsibility for their treasures. Let's break that down a little further. How do I take responsibility for my treasures? Well, first thing obviously I have to do is I have to take ownership of my treasures. We talked about this a lot, so if you need any explanation about that, go back and listen to the podcast, we.faithnfm.com, and you can hear all the earlier classes. But also, besides owning my treasures, I must require that you own your treasures. To be a fully functioning, mature adult, I have to require you to take responsibility for what you own. There's a technical word that you may have heard a lot that describes when we take responsibility for someone else's treasures. It's called codependency. Because they're depending on us to do for them what they should be doing for themselves. We're trying to control and take responsibility for their feelings. Oh, I don't want them to feel that way. So I'm going to change everything around so I can own their feelings. I'm going to own their attitudes. You know, I don't want them to think that way. So I'm going to take responsibility. It's up to me to take care of that. Yeah. That's my dad, by the way, Pastor McDaniel. Yeah, go ahead.
In this situation, you're saying that you need to require others to own your treasures? It seems like
they're going to own. I'm requiring them to own their treasures.
Right. So my treasure's out there. So
I hear your treasure. Okay. Get back to me on that. See? That's one of his treasures. And his little treasure isn't able to own his own thing right now, okay? You work on that. So, you know, there comes a time, that's a good example, there comes a time when, okay, you're sad, you're upset, I understand that, I empathize with you. Work on it. You know, you got an issue, you got a need, this is in your fence. I'll help you with it if I can, but some things I can't. Let's do this. Before I go any further, let's watch something. And maybe this will help you. Okay? So if you're demanding that everything adapt to you, or you're trying to adapt everything to someone else, then you're not requiring them to own their responsibilities, to own their treasures. Their attitudes, their feelings, their choices, their talents, all of those things. So, and other people can demand that you take responsibility. They can demand it outright or they can manipulatively demand. You've all had that, right? Where they kind of, And they kind of manipulate, try to push you into taking their responsibility through what we talked about before, guilt, fear, all of those things. And if you're mature, then you're going to require them to, you're going to refuse to take their responsibility and require them to own their own treasures.
So I'm sorry.
No problem.
My treasure is being
we got it.
By my beautiful
yeah.
Wife and mother. You should give them sort of a ground rules, and that they should you say, well, you know, you're going to have to make sure that as we're in this relationship, whatever level it's at, that you're going to have to take some responsibility for yourself. But it's interesting. It also sounds like you're just saying, you know, I can't allow you to sort of be in my life without understanding the demands of life.
I think. Let me see if I can catch what you're saying here. Yes, you do have to, it depends on the level of relationship. You're not going to start a relationship with somebody just by going, okay, your problem. But I think there's, especially, usually it takes us, in many cases, especially when it happens with a parent or a family member that we've had, you know, a relationship with for a long time, it takes us extricating ourselves from that. You know, that's what a child goes through as they get to a certain age. They're extricating themselves from what was, you know, as your precious treasure out there gets older, there'll come a time where they'll be able to understand when you say, no, I know you're upset, you're going to have to deal with this in a better manner. You're going to have to own up to your choice here. Okay. Obviously, at a small age, they can't do that. They don't understand that. But as they get older, you know, you don't, when you have an elementary school kid, you don't allow them to just go, you know, you say, no, we don't behave like that. We don't respond like that. You know, what I think Trudy said it before, okay, you can be angry, you can be upset about that. You know, kids are really good about doing this fake cry wail thing, like I've been wounded within an inch of my life. Ah, you know. And when they got to where they could understand words, we'd say, no, you go right ahead and cry if you'd like to cry, but you do it quietly. And they understood that. And they exhibited the fact that they could actually cry quietly. And it took all the fun out of it. And so they stopped. Put all the fun in for me. And you say, okay, this is a treasure. This is part of your responsibility, your treasure, that I'm going to require you to own. Okay, I am not going to knock myself out trying to fiddle in your yard. Now, that may sound a little harsh, but let's go to the third one here. I must also, if I'm mature, I'm going to value your treasure. The immature person might get the first two right. They may be all about owning their treasure, requiring that you own your treasure, but they may get this one totally wrong. It's kind of common, especially as you're trying to As you're maturing and you're trying to work all this out, just because I have my own treasure and you have your own treasure doesn't mean that I don't care about your treasure. As a mature person, I do. As our relationship matures, it's not just, you know, I have my thing, you have your thing. Part of the whole reason we have this relationship is we want to share certain things. So the mature person is going to care deeply about the treasures of their spouse. Specifically, even though you own your feelings and I don't own your feelings and I'm not responsible for your feelings, I care about your feelings. I value your feelings. So when I do something that may affect you, that may impinge on what you're responsible for, then I'm going to stop, you know, okay, I'm responsible for me, and I'm responsible for my feelings, and so I'm just going to, you know, work till 7:30, you know, and if you feel bad about that, well, you own your feelings. Too bad. No, that's not the way it works. I care more about her feelings and how she feels about that than I do about any retribution that might be there, okay? It's not about
obvious retribution.
You know, it's not about, well, this is going to make her angry. Okay. It's about that it would make her sad. That to feel that I didn't care about it, you know, and what she's doing there. And, you know, so I care about those feelings. Yeah.
And to me, this is a good time as a wife to say there are times where he has to work really nutty hours. And it is so easy for me to let him go without being resentful or pouty or whatever, because he very clearly communicates to me that he cares about that time with me that he's missing out on. So it's very easy for me to allow him those long hours when they do have to come up, because I know that it matters as much to him as it does to me. I don't know if I communicate that very well.
But. Yeah, I mean, you value each other's treasure. I care about her thoughts. I care about her opinions, her beliefs, her attitudes, her desires, her talents. I care about all those things. In fact, if I didn't care about them, then there would be no reason for us to be together. I mean, that's part of the reason you have a relationship, because you care about the treasure of the other person. Whether it's a marriage relationship or just simply a friendship, you care. That's part of the maturity of the relationship. I care about how my actions may affect your treasures. I care about how you're doing with your treasures. I care about how I might cause you to grow, or how what I'm doing might hinder your growth. Cloud and Townsend, that guy we were listening to and who wrote the book on boundaries, they had a put it this way: God has given you each other to know and to share. God has given you each other to know and share. To value the treasures in the soul of the other is to not miss out on a wonderful gift from God to the both of you. So if I don't value your treasure, I'm not being mature, and I'm not acting like an adult. Yeah.
15 seconds.
Sure.
My wife's relationship with me showed me how insensitive I was with people. And the fact that, and I thought that I was quite sensitive, and in circumstances I might, but I didn't really listen to people. So Christina came into my life, showed me, Eric, you're not concerned about little details. Now I'm slightly more concerned about and I'm and my pride has to be put down so that I can realize my way of seeing things isn't necessarily always true.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, and that's
sort of back up what you're
that's part of the relationship helping you to grow. Because you care about her and her thoughts and her attitudes, that in turn helps you to grow in your maturity level. And you know, get in line with that. The second requirement in any relationship of mature adults is that adults understand and accept individuality. Babies don't grasp this concept at all. Babies see the world totally as it relates to them. I'm not getting fed, I'm not getting changed, I'm not getting whatever I need. It's all about me. They are the center of their universe. Their universe is the sum of all their desires. Sum of everything they want, that makes up who they are and what they're all about. Their self-centeredness is at the core of what God's trying to move us away from. So, yet when we begin to look for a spouse, when we begin to look for someone else to have a relationship with, somehow or the other, we think it should go right back to the self-centered thing, because we start looking for the one. I'm looking for, she's the one for me. And our idea of oneness tends to be that the one is exactly like me. In fact, if I find the one, they're going to be a more complete, better version of me. Now, see, this is where reproduction is a really good visible reminder. And wherever your mind is going, don't go there. Reproduction is a visible reminder of what God intends with us, where He takes two mature, separate, complete individuals, and they in turn reproduce not a two-headed monster, they reproduce a separate individual. One new creation. You don't reproduce a clone of you, even though sometimes it seems that way. There's a lot of traits there. There's a lot of you in there, and there's a lot of your spouse in there, and you can see it from time to time. But that new creation is a completely different and separate individual. And that's what God intends in a relationship. You take these two, it's two-ness, as we talked about it last week, two people, and it's not just an extension of me. It's a new creation that God does with us. Understanding and accepting in the individuality of our spouse is another way to say that the world doesn't revolve around me. I'm not what it's all about. You are a separate person, and I understand and accept her separateness, that she is different than me. There are several components to this. Real quickly, the first component of this is that recognizing that you are a person, not an object. Babies see other people as objects that meet their needs. The immature teenager sees you as a walking ATM. When we see people only in terms of how they affect us, that's trouble. That means we're seeing them as objects. We're not seeing them as people. You know, it's very easy to do. You know, it's very easy to do in things like politics, where we see this other group that hates what we hate, and so we treat them as objects, where they're people. Anyway, the second thing there is, and hopefully I'm on my notes here. There we are. Another key component is, in moving from self-centeredness to maturity, is recognize that your experience is not my experience. See, we've used the word empathy a lot, and I don't know that we've really defined what empathy really, really is. Empathy is when we understand someone else's experience. Now, you understand it. You identify with it. You can break it down. And you can have compassion for the other person in their experience. That's the simple definition of empathy. And empathy invites intimacy. Lack of empathy creates distance. It creates disconnection. So last week I read this, I was somewhere and I read this quote. Somebody said, "I can relate to people who think no one's the same as them because I'm just like that." Think about that later. Immature people will either interpret the other person's experience as meaning something about themselves. You did that. You looked that way. You had the thing. It must be about me. They're over there giggling. It must be about me. You know, they did this. I wonder how that, what that's about, because I'm sure that's about me. Or they react to it by thinking of themselves. You know, somebody gets in an accident. Oh, yeah. I wonder how that affects me. That's not empathy at all. For immature people, they're thinking that they're empathizing, but they're really not. It's still all about them. You know, somebody's telling you, I went into my bank, and those tellers, they're so, I hate going in there. That bank is, you know, and I went to the teller, and she was so rude, and it was awful, and went in there and just threw, it was just awful. It was terrible going into that bank. I hate that bank. Now somebody's telling you that, and you say, "Have you tried talking to the bank manager? You know, maybe it's, or maybe you should try another bank." Well, see, that's not an empathetic response at all. You're trying to solve. You're trying to put your solution into their problem. You know, you haven't heard. You know, it may not be about the teller at all. It may not be about the bank at all. They're just feeling this way. Okay, well, what is empathy? Empathy is understanding, identifying with it, and having compassion with them in their experience. It's not saying, "Oh, I know, I hate that bank too." Or, "Well, you should go, my bank is even worse."
So what would be the empathetic response?
I'm sorry you had that experience. That must have made you feel terrible. Ha. See, there's the other thing we do. Hang on. The other thing we might do is we might try to get on the side of the teller. Well, you know, I'm sure that teller was just having a bad day. You need to be more compassionate with that. Now, you may be at the point in your relationship where they're open to you, but sometimes they just need empathy first, okay? Where you don't try to offer a solution, you don't try to, we think, well, I'm just going to make it worse and I'm just going to feed that, yeah. Well, let's try empathy first, okay? Let's just try meeting them where they are.
Okay, but how many times are you empathetic?
Because, okay, what are we doing there? What are we doing there? Think about this. What are we doing? We are making their experience my experience. We're saying, I don't want, your experience is dragging me down. Your experience is driving me crazy. Your experience is... and suddenly it's all about us because we want this to go away. We want to manage their feelings. We want them to be happy. We don't want the people at the bank to think that they're a bad person. We want to just make it all nice because the experience has become my experience. Well, your experience is not my experience. I'm sorry you had that experience. I feel bad for you. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen next time. Is there anything I can do? Maybe. The central thing I want you to see here is that their experience is not my experience. You're allowed to have a different experience than me. It's, okay. You may go to that bank all the time, and you know those people are the nicest people in the whole wide world. But your experience is different than their experience. That's not what they experience. Even if they're making it up, even if they're imagining that the teller looked at them cross-eyed, that's their experience. They are allowed to have that. It doesn't mean you have to get on the crazy train with them. But you can see them to the station and wave as they go down the track.
That is part
of the whole fence issue. is saying, okay, it stops here. Okay, I'm not gonna agree with you and say, oh, whoa, that's horrible. We should go down there and pick at the bank. No. I mean, I am really sorry, and I feel for you, and I have compassion for you in that circumstance.
That's really bad.
Is there anything I can do about that? And usually they'll say, no, it's just horrible. Poor me. Yeah, poor you.
But doesn't their experience become your experience when you start hearing it over and over, and at what point do you...
Because that's what's in their fence.
No.
But what happens is it's not the actual experience that becomes yours. It's every time they're coming over, you know what's getting ready to come. So now...
That's your experience.
That's when you lock
that's,
the fence.
That's your experience. Not their experience. The experience of them coming
that's
at y'all.
That's what I'm getting at. So okay. how do you keep your boundaries before stepping into it saying, why don't you do something about that?
Mickey, pull the blinds. You're coming.
Yeah, and that's when they reach through the mail hole and feel your head. Anybody's ever seen Raymond? Okay. Let me help you out here with one or two more things. Don't leave early. I'll just tell you that. Don't leave early. There are prizes. Closely related to this is that you are different than me. You are different than me. You have different tastes, you have different opinions, you do have different preferences, you have different moods, you have different needs, and that's okay. See, immaturity is going to judge that those differences are bad. We're going to put a moral value on that and say, how could you think like that? You're an idiot.
So we can't say that?
You can, but you've crossed the fence.
Supposed to close your fence door first.
The other, we will go beyond that, and if you're really immature, you're going to judge their different choices as a personal attack, as an, a lack of love, as some sort of abandonment, because you don't back me in this. Okay, you like, Jim likes the Yankees, okay? We're still friends, okay? Maybe that is a moral choice, but anyway. And thirdly, I want to end with this, because this is really important. We're separate, we're individuals, but I cherish your existence. I cherish your existence. That's part of maturity as well. And if you're really mature, it's not what you do for me. Hang on. I would really appreciate it, though, if you wouldn't put things away. It's not what you do for me. It's not that you fulfill some need or interest of mine. In fact, it's not that you're doing anything that is in any way connected with me. I can simply cherish your existence, who you are. I gain pleasure simply by knowing you. I gain pleasure simply by experiencing you. I see you as distinct and separate from me, and I value and I appreciate that person. I can sit there and I'll be watching TV. She'll be across the room doing knitting, doing something, doing cross-stitch, doing reading a book, whatever. And I can look and I can say, I cherish her existence. She's not doing anything for me or about me. But I value her for who she is. My favorite picture of how God cherishes our existence is there in Zephaniah. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. God simply cherishes you, not because you do anything for him, but because he cherishes you and he cherishes your existence. And that's how a mature person deals with that.